Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hi, I'm Virgie Rodriguez, and here we are here with A Race of Your Own with another little bit of a setup. So I know I talked about having an international aspect to this show, and I'm housing that under something called Lavinia International, where I'm going to be talking to international folks all around the world about them and how inspiration leads to resilience for them. And today's guest, he's a singer, songwriter, and author. He wrote a couple books, but one called Be a Voice, Not an Echo, which is about finding your own voice in personal development, which is an important part of having your voice heard in society today. And another book called The Adventure of Dedication, which is more about personal development and mental health, and a little bit of a bio as well. He also has a new single called Heartache Love Song, which he talks about the, it's a tribute to grief and how, you know, that follows the loss of a special person. And so welcome today, Garrett Winter.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, Garrett.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yay. We're going to delve in. You know, it seems like to me overall, just like by listening for your story, and something that I didn't mention, which is that you also studied theology.
True. I studied theology and musicology. Yeah. Mm.
And seeing what's going on in the world today, right? What was that? What was it about theology that made you want to take that up as an actual something to study?
It was more coincidental, I would say, because it was not really a proper choice. Like, I want to study theology. That would be a lie. But when I started it, I felt like, oh, this is really giving something to me and something that I missed a long time, because I thought it's about, like religion, but it's not. It's more about like anthropological aspects of society, and you really learn about human beings, actually. And this was a great experience, and that led to studying musicology, to be honest. Mm. Because I found myself at university and studying these things, and I felt like, ooh, this is not like, feels that doesn't feel like school. It feels more like really finding something that I lost along the way at school, because it was all about learning things and doing things that people told you, and university is more about, you know, finding things and finding out things. And then finally, I made my step into musicology, and then the whole thing was complete, you know, like the spiritual aspect and music and the combination the first time.
And kind of finding your own voice, like personal development, right? Which is what true. I talked about before, about be a voice, not an echo. Mm-hmm. So was voice, music, singing, mm-hmm. kind of like, is that kind of what made you go down the path of writing a book about finding your voice?
There was like a lot later.
Okay.
But I think it was the groundwork somehow.
Okay. Yeah. And music has been just an important part of your life, just overall, it sounds yes. like, right?
Since I was five, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a vocalist. And I never had on my mind that the spirituality in the music. In Germany, we don't have something like gospel. We don't go to church like you guys in America do, unfortunately. So it's really like separated somehow. And that was the first time that I had both of these major topics for me, spirituality and music combined at university. People just go to learn. And I was like, oh, this is an epiphany.
Were there certain kinds of music? Were you listening to gospel music? Is that kind of an inspiration as growing up, right? As a kid, like you're saying in Germany, that wasn't like kind of part of the culture in that sense. So was gospel music something that you started listening to, or other types of, let's say, I don't know, so spiritual music, I guess, or all music can be considered spiritual, I guess, to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I feel anyway. Yeah. Were there certain types of music you were listening to growing up that, like, when did you make that connection? Was that something as a kid that you just always saw? You know, this spiritual aspect with music, creativity, personal development. Was that something that you made, or was that, like you're saying, came later when you did your book?
It came a lot later, unfortunately. Okay. In Germany, or in Europe, I think in general, it's a little different because we have these things a little separated. Like I said, it's music. You don't have that connection to gospel music that much because we grew up, I grew up a little different. We have that genre called Schlager, and it's more like feel-good music. And everything is based a little bit on that. And I found my door to gospel music a lot later, to be honest. And I think during the last years of my artist development, I really understood the real meaning behind it. Not even when I studied musicology, when we had gospel and soul and all the roots of pop music and popular music, I think I didn't quite get it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm on my path, let's say like that. But I think I have a lot to learn still.
Yeah. Yeah. And in writing, you know, because, you know, well, you're writing music, but you're also writing these books. I feel like part of writing a book is also personal development, right? Like while you're in that process.
Oh, yeah.
Right. What was the impetus for that? That you were like, I feel like I need to put this in a book and share this with the world, right? Or with an audience.
I think it was like therapeutic a little bit because I started to write that book shortly before COVID, the pandemic, when it hit, or
perfect time to write a book.
Yes.
Perfect time.
Right. It was like that.
To do self-reflection.
A lot of time. Yeah. You spent a lot of time at home. And then right. It was like really therapeutic because during my time as a coach, I used to work as a vocal coach, and after being studying musicology and always having voice lessons, I started to give classes for students or talented young people. And then I felt, I think I missed music. And then I always try to motivate people to find their own voice because I think I lost mine a little bit. Because I quit music for more than 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Like as a recording artist. Of course, I always was connected to music because I taught it. But I was not an actual recording artist anymore. And maybe now that I look back, I know, okay, I think I tried to motivate myself to get back on stage and to find my voice back. And yeah, I think that was the process that I went through.
And a lot in life, just in general, is about like finding your voice, right? In that sense, for a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Because we come across stumbling blocks. There's things that happen in our lives. We leave. Mm-hmm. You know, similar story for me. It's like it just got to a point I didn't want to dance anymore. You know, mm-hmm. being a choreographer and a dancer, I just didn't want to dance anymore. I didn't want to do it. You lose. Sometimes you just lose. For me, I'll speak for myself. But it you know, I just lost kind of like that passion about it. Right.
Yeah,
and I needed to like kind of you find these reinvention. And so, again, a lot of the stuff I talk about here, which is finding inspiration, you know, through mm-hmm. resilience, because it's like, there's something about having to be resilient,
mm-hmm.
But you have to be inspired to find that resilience. And I know it's kind of like, I'm just like repeating both of those words, but that's just kind of what it feels like. So reinventing,
mm-hmm.
right, yourself, or taking what you have learned and putting it in a book,
mm-hmm.
or sharing that with someone. So, you know, and I talk about paths like that all the time, and you know, we'll get to that a little later too, but you know, I want to go back to your song heartache love song heartache love song, you know, where it's like about grief, you mm-hmm. know, and with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world, right? Like I feel like so many of us are grieving on so many different levels mm-hmm. about so many different things, right? And I've talked about grief before, and what that process is like for people. I've had another guest on that talked about that. So, you know, would you like to share, like, what are some ways that you've learned for yourself that you deal with grief and that you get through certain things in life? Because it's almost like, when we put a part of ourselves behind, right? Like you stopped being a recording artist,
Bitter.
Yeah. It's bittersweet, but it's almost like you're grieving that, that part of yourself. And you're going, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I've accomplished.
You think you're good.
Or you think you're good.
Yeah.
Right. I've accomplished what I felt like I've needed to accomplish in that world or whatever. You know, what can you explore that or expand a little bit about grief in that sense?
I think the first grief that I really experienced was that grief of losing the music in my life, because there was no question since I was five, I wanted to be a singer. There was no question about that. And my mother was the one who was always supporting me because she knew this is his thing. And he really wants to do that. And to realize that stepping into the music industry with about 20, and doing these television shows and having the first experiences and not finding yourself and the thing and your artistry in this during this journey, that was kind of bitter. And then I felt like it's time to think about everything and to think about what was really important for me, and I couldn't find it anymore. And there was the connection to music that was to inspire people and to get inspired as well. And then I left the music industry with 28, and I had five sudden hear losses, and I couldn't hear myself anymore. I couldn't listen to everything that was talked, and I couldn't listen to all the chatter. And I went to Spain and to south of France, to go on the St. James path, you know, that pilgrim way.
Like a pilgrimage?
Yeah.
What was that? What is that?
It's a 4 weeks experience, and you walk like 900 kilometers and you just walk to find yourself again. And it's a really like spiritual path. And I try to find myself, and I try to find the meaning back, what I wanted to do, my purpose. And of course, you don't find everything there that you wish for. But after that, I moved. I changed the city that I lived in. And I really quit my career for the first time. And the first time, I had no goal anymore. Because since I was five, I was driven. Mm-hmm. And I just had that one thing, music, get a record deal, and be on stage. And then I had it. And I felt empty. Because I didn't have a team to share it with. And I didn't have the right music, I didn't find my artistry, and I think that was the first grief ever, and it was really bitter for me because that was the driving force of my life, to be honest. And I think it's not coincidental that a few years later, like 10, I lost my mother, and that was a hard time because during that time I just published my second book. And I still know that I wrote every chapter really on the hallways of the hospital. It was horrible. Just a not very nice experience. And I will always remember these nights. But during that time, I recognized, oh, I missed something. My mother always reminded me of, hey, what's going on with your singing? You can't just stop. It's not a jacket you put there somewhere. You're still a singer, and you have to do it. And yeah, then I slowly found my way back, and I had some important people in my life. My mentor, Marvin A. Smith, who really remembered me that you can't disrespect your gift from God, and you can't grieve because it's still there. Why are you grieving? It's still there. You're 38. And that was an important turning point in my life. And I think during the process of losing my mom, but having my dream back, you can't balance that out, of course not, because my mom was my holy grail, but it somehow helped because I got something back for a thing that I really lost in my life, an important big part.
And it's interesting how whatever you believe in, right? Whether it's God or spirit or the universe, everybody's kind of going to believe in something different. But like God tends to bring somebody into your life at the right time that's going to give you that, you know, and that was for you, Marvin. And shout out to Marvin because we love Marvin and he's great. And yes, he's an amazing individual. But your second book, which was The Adventure of Dedication, right? Which was more about personal development, mental health, and kind of a little bit about your biography. But, you know, one of the words in that title, dedication, right?
That's it.
You can't, I have found, again, my own personal experience, and people might agree or disagree, you know, being dedicated to your personal growth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it never stops.
Yeah.
You know, you think you get to a point, or just like in your career, you're like, I got to this point, I got all this stuff. Now what? Like, right. Like, I've accomplished everything I set out to do. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. And and maybe you, it wasn't so much you quit, right? Like, if you already accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish as a recording artist, you're like, well, did you really quit? Or did you just kind of, was that the sound? You heard the sound? I'm okay with it. Did you really quit, or you just kind of reinvented yourself in that sense, right? Like, you took what you learned, right? You took what you learned, and you resilience, right?
Yeah,
that inspiration, and yes, you repurposed it and moved into another facet, world, whatever.
I think there's a difference with working with your talents. That's what I did the 13 years in between when I stopped doing music as a recording artist. I just worked with my talents, and of course I have other talents, and I'm very blessed and thankful for that, that I can work as a coach or I could write books. But there was no no spark in me that was that could lead to that big fire again. It was just nice. I could have done that for another 5 years because I loved it and I love to write books and love to sit in my garden and to write books. But it was not, I think it's not why I'm here. And there is more to give, more to share. And that dedication thing was so funny because when I wrote about it, really on the pages, you can read something like, you have to trust life. And if something else shows up, just go that direction because you don't have the master plan. Someone else has the master plan. You don't know. You don't know anything. And there is someone who knows. Just follow. And then I had really, I had an institute in Spain, a mental health institute, and I had a whole other plan.
Your own institute?
Yeah. Like a mental health institute to help.
Wait, what?
You're shocked. Why?
You have your own?
It was my own.
Where you like
institute.
Help people?
Yeah, helping people with mental health issues.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, and it was called the Evelyn Winter Institute. So my mother's name, and it was really
it's still
a
there?
Big thing. No.
And where was it?
It was in Spain. But then during that time, I met Marvin, and I met myself again. I met my dream again, and then I thought, okay, I built this on Mallorca. And I could have my life here now.
Mallorca.
And I could live the life that I wanted, I thought that I wanted, with palms and sun and everything. And really nice. And I could help people. But I saw myself there and I felt, this is not right.
Something was off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just not right. And there was this little voice, you know, the first book. Mm-hmm. There was this little voice that whispered in my ear, no, Garrett, it's not right. You shouldn't be here, even if it's good for the people, or even if you have something to give, but it's not right.
How much did you, for how long did you do the institute for? How many years was that?
It was just 1 year.
Wow.
Not even a whole year.
But even saying that, right? Like even being, and did you, did you practice there? Or did you hire professionals to come and work with people?
Yeah, I had the project with a doctor. He's a friend of mine, and we had that. He is a doctor, and I'm as a certified coach, mental health expert.
Okay.
And yeah, we tried to get this project going, and it went really well. But then I said, like, you know, something's not right.
Something's off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of on that path of dedication, on that path of resilience. It's like listening to those moments. People will show up in your life, give you that advice, but and
And it's hard because people think you're crazy. You just built an institute on Mallorca. Are you crazy? What are you talking about? You can't just
That's amazing. That's it. Brilliant. And for me.
But I, in the retrospect, or in retrospect, I know now that I needed that to handle the grief that I had for my mom, you know, to have something that I can put the love in that had no target anymore. I could put all my love into this project, and I think it was dedication as well, and it was like meant to be like that, because I don't know how I would have handled the grief if I would have not been on Mallorca, being in the sun and giving people what I had to give, even during the darkest times of my life. And I think my mom was kind of involved to say, thank you for the gift. I love have my name on the institute here, but you go back and you follow your dream.
Yeah.
And I sent Marvin, and then you go for it.
Yeah. And again, it just that was probably like your mom. But I was, while you were talking, I was like your mom tapping you on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, okay, all right, get back to work, so to speak.
Yes,
right?
Like that.
Like, yeah, like get back to work. There's other things. You hear purpose is huge. I talk a lot about purpose on this show. Yeah. And you know, if having those moments in your life that pop up where things happen to, is it an obstacle? Is it supposed to stop you, or is it actually made to open your eyes and kind of realize really what's the reality of life, what's going on, where you really, what you were really sent here to do, so to speak, right? And I mean, writing two books, that's huge, you know, and the first one being Be a Voice, Not an Echo. I think that's huge in finding your own voice and like being walking in your purpose in that sense. And so something that I ask all the guests too is, you know, if you were to give somebody advice in, you know, having them follow and be in a race of their own, because you talked about that earlier, going on your pilgrimage, you know, I mean, I'm sure that was, how long did that take?
Oh, 4-5 weeks.
Of
was just walking. And me personally, I had to take the bus because I did everything the wrong way. So I had to take the bus. But it was even worse.
And it was how many kilometers, which I'll change to miles later. But how long was it? It was
900 kilometers almost, yeah.
Okay.
To be honest, I didn't walk everything. I took the bus because I was injured. But I was in hospital. My pilgrim thing was to be in a hospital and to journal.
And so being in a race of your own in that sense where you were on your own walk, right? And I'm sure things came up for you that you had to process. So if you were to give people advice on what is it to be in a race of your own, you know, you're going to go through hills and peaks and valleys, and sometimes you're going to plateau, and sometimes you have high peaks, low valleys, or you're in the moment in life where there's just tumbleweeds and you don't know which way to go, right? Where it's like, I don't even know what to do. What would be some advice you would give someone to stay in a race of their own?
The first thing I would say is that we can't just pick what we want. It's already written what is the plan for us, and we have to follow that. And to do that, to come to point two, is to listen to your intuition again and to find that intuition again. I know it's always like, it's so hard to find that sometimes because the world is so loud and everything is so loud and so noisy. But I think it's really, no matter how you do it, in a monastery where you keep silent for 5 days, I don't know, there are different ways to find your intuition. But I love the quote that Oprah once said, that an intuition is a whisper from God. And we have to listen to these things, because without that, I think it's not possible. Because without that, I would have never ended up going back on stage, because I had an institute and I had my books, and people tell you, oh, nice, your new path. It's nice. You should go on with it. It's nice. Oh, wow, you achieved so much. And you were like, yeah, but it's really not.
Yeah.
I think it's not what I want, because I tell people to listen to the intuition, and my intuition just tells me, shit, it's not the right thing. I thought it is the right thing, but it's not.
I think
to have the courage to really change it, I think this is the main advice. Don't follow your plan, follow the greater plan. Listen to your inner voice again and find your inner voice somehow. Just try and then really do it, because the whisper is there. But if you hear it and you will not do it, you will be angry and grieving for the rest of your life.
There's something about sitting still.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about sitting still and really hearing that voice.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so much out in the world that's constructed to distract.
Mm-hmm.
That if you fall into that, you can't hear it. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't hear the voice,
yeah.
So to speak. You can't feel or even feel it. Some people feel it, right? They feel the intuition pulling them one way, but for whatever reason, mm-hmm. they want to go that way, mm-hmm. you know, and don't listen to the voice or don't hear it. Some people don't hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you were like, something was tapping me on the shoulder to go a certain way and I just was fighting it. And I think it's, yeah, because for so long, again, you know, if you're being a recording artist for so long or being a dancer for a while, it's like, well, that's what I'm just supposed to do. You mm-hmm. know, that's what I've been titled up until yeah. now. Like, yeah. that's just it's what I am.
Yeah.
It's given. That's what I am. But yeah, maybe that was brought to me and I fulfilled everything I wanted to fulfill in that chapter of my life. Now what's next, mm-hmm. right? But I have to sit, you have to sit still and listen.
Yeah.
And some people, and you have to hone it, right?
Yeah.
So like for you, what do you do? I know sometimes I like just kind of writing is mm-hmm. a big one, or like, you know, meditating too, but.
Yeah. I think these are the typical tools that people mm-hmm. already know, but mm-hmm. just do it. And mm-hmm. There's a saying, I think it's like, if you you can only recognize movement if you're still or if you still stand. And I think this is the main thing, because sitting on a train, sometimes we don't know who's which train is driving or riding, and you really recognize it when one is like in stillness. And then you recognize, oh, it's not me. Then you see the movement. And I think people have to find somehow the tool to calm their inner voices and to just get through the noise somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Or listen to other people that maybe know better. Because in my case, I think without meeting certain people in my life, I would not have ended up where I am, because sometimes I think we always know better ourselves, but sometimes other people can cut through. And if you trust them, the right people, then you know, oh yeah, this is really, I couldn't hear it, but you're right. And I think that's, you have to differentiate, because not many people want to have success for you or health for you or want to benefit your life, but some do, and then you have to listen to these people as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't even touch upon your other single, Battlefield, which was a part of a major campaign for RTL, which is one of the hugest networks here in Europe. But you know, and you know, can you talk a little bit about that song too?
Yeah, Battlefield is basically an anthem to resilience. And to stand up and to leave the battlefield behind and to follow your dreams, leave the past, let go of everything that you've experienced and just go for your dreams. And just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
My favorite line is, it's time to heal. And I think this is what we need right now as a society. This is what we need globally, this is what the country needs. This is what we all need in our little neighborhood. We mm-hmm. just need to heal, and we need people that help us to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge. I think, you know, knowing that, it's like the only person we're really in a competition with is ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And so like holding on to regrets or past, whatever, it's like, leave it on the battlefield of life and keep it pushing. So thank you so much, Garrett, for being here today. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge. I really want to get one of your books, the Be a Voice, Not an Echo. That just sounds like, you know, and the Adventure Dedication. I just want to learn more.
Even
I'm just going to get both. Where can
both.
We find them? Amazon?
Yes.
Okay.
Amazon. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Garrett.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That was
a pleasure.
Yes. And this is A Race of Your Own. I'm Virgie Rodriguez. Remember to subscribe. Leave your comments down below. And peace. See you later.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.